I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom is now open. Come shop in-store today. Golfdom is also offering grab-and-go curbside pickup. Go to golfdomgolf.com for details. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Good. John, I learned one of my buddies that I used to play hoops with, Fahad, is now your neighbor.
He is. Met him just the other day. Jane and I were swimming, and he came out and walked down to the fence to say hello and chatted with him, understood you guys played ball together in high school, and I guess you both went to Quince Orchard, am I right?
No. He's like 20 years younger than me. I didn't play high school ball with him.
That's used to play. Well, you played hoops while he was in high school, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. He was like high school, college.
Yeah, he's
and I
a
was
kid.
35 years old.
He's a youngin'.
Yeah, and Jane and Chris have also met his wife, and most importantly to Jane, their dog. So seems like we got lucky with the new neighbors.
Nice. Very cool.
He's a good dude, and the fact that he lives next to you, I know that he's done very well in life.
I gathered that he's done very well in life. And like you said, he's very young. And I guess they moved from New York and want to start a family, so good for them.
You say you were swimming. Where were you swimming?
And we have a backyard pool, Jason. It's 40 feet, which is hardly a workout pool, but for our purposes right now, it's spectacular to and be able to. Jane's been in the water every single day since it got warm enough a week ago. Actually, she first got in when the pool temp was still like 74, which is cold, but not bothered by it at all. And she spent one day, she was in the pool for 4 hours. Mm. She just loves it. And I've been getting in and trying to, you know, push my way around a little bit just to see if my arms and legs still work at all.
So is that relatively new, or have you had that pool for a while?
No, actually, the house had the pool when I bought it, but it was in terrible shape. The owners hadn't used it for years and had snakes in it. I mean, it was really in bad shape. No doubt brought that price of the house down some for us, but we renovated it actually when Chris was pregnant with Jane. You know, we figured it's here. Let's do this for Jane, and it's worked out great for Jane and for me, frankly.
Well, good for you, yeah. Today you'll definitely use it because it's going to be about 86 today. It'll be muggy.
Yeah, I mean, it's already hot outside. When I went to get the papers early this morning, I realized I didn't need the sweatshirt I was wearing.
Mm-hmm. So what article on the front? I assume you went to get the Post.
Post in the Times, right, New York Times. Let's make that clear.
Not the Washington Times. All right, but on the Post, on the sports page, what article intrigued you the most?
Well, certainly the two stories about what's going on between the owners and the players here in baseball. I think the Max Scherzer tweet. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have him on yesterday? Did I see that?
No, we did not.
No.
Well, anyway, Max Scherzer's tweet is very telling, because he's one of the most respected guys in baseball. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys have read it, and it said, there's no reason for us to negotiate with these guys. There's a deal in place. The owners keep saying, well, but that was only if we could sell tickets. I haven't seen anybody leak the agreement, so that we don't know exactly. The players say that was not part of the agreement on March 26th. And I wouldn't be stunned at this point if the negotiations kept us from having baseball in July, as is the hoped-for plan, if all the logistics can be worked out, because this is a long-standing, contentious relationship. Even though there has not been a strike since 1995, they came very close in 2002. They're already saber-rattling about when this agreement runs out in 2021. The owners are again being accused of collusion on salaries for older players, which has happened before. They've been found guilty of it before. And I understand the union's position. And what Scherzer said that I think is important in his tweet is, okay, if you guys are telling us that you're going to lose so much more money that we have to take another pay cut, then show us your books.
Yeah.
And this has been going on. This goes back again to 94. When the owners were saying we've got to have a salary cap to survive. If there's no salary cap, we can't continue to do business. And the player said, show us your books. They didn't show the books. Then they tried to unilaterally invoke a salary cap through the CBA. And of course, Sonia Sotomayor, who was a federal court judge at that point, ended the strike in April of 95 by saying, you can't do that. You can't unilaterally invoke a CBA. That's against the law. And so I know most people, and this is 100% true, most people side with the owners in every sport whenever there's an owner-player dispute, because they know how much the players are making. And they look at these younger guys and say, well, you know, this guy's making millions of dollars and I'm, struggling to feed my family. And I understand the sentiment completely. I get it. But the fact is the owners are a lot richer.
Right.
Yep.
And they're going to make that money for years and years and years. The players all have a limited window. Mm-hmm. And Faye Vinson said it best back in 94, just before the strike, 92 actually, before he got fired by the owners for voicing the sentiment. He said, if we go out again, if there's another, there had been 7 work stoppages at that point in 22 years in baseball. He said, if we go out again, most in the public will view this as greedy millionaires fighting with greedy billionaires. And I think many people do, but they always come down 70-80% of them on the side of the players, because they don't know how rich the owners are, because the owners ain't telling.
Right.
And so that it's very significant, because I think all of us want to see some baseball this summer. And you know, Boz is writing columns saying the Nats will win again because of the delay. I read that column too, because he's finally stopped writing about how 2019 was the greatest World Series in history.
Pretty great.
And we all want baseball. That's the one thing we all agree on.
Yeah. John, mm-hmm. Getting back to the owners for a second, I don't understand why fans come down on their side, especially when almost exclusively now stadiums and arenas, they're built with taxpayer money, or a big chunk of it is with taxpayer money. So you're basically subsidizing these owners to go and enjoy, you know, watching either the Nats or the Caps or whatever city you're in. That's another reason that the fans should come down on the side of the players, because it's coming out of their pockets to go watch these games.
That's absolutely right. And by the way, I do think, though, that A. Poland built what was then the MCI Center. I think he paid the bulk of that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But you're right, though. He was an exception. And certainly Nats Park was built with taxpayer funds. But I think that, again, I think it's just instinct. You know, you look at a 25, Max Scherzer's 35, which is still young as a human being, not as a baseball player. And you look at how much money he's making and how much money he's made, and you go, well, what's his problem, you know? And he can afford it. And probably, certainly he can. I mean, if there's no season, Max Scherzer isn't going to go hungry. Neither are most of the players in Major League Baseball. Now, some minor leaguers may be going hungry. That's a whole different story.
Right.
But the fact is that the learners are unspeakably rich. I mean, they could lose every single dollar you can lose on this baseball season, and they wouldn't blink an eye. And that's true of most of these owners. And again, it gets back to the players don't trust the owners because of what's happened in the past.
Right.
And
right.
And if I were a player, I wouldn't trust the owners. Speaking just as a fan, I don't trust the owners either.
And by the way,
next week is sort of the soft deadline because they want to start spring training by about June 15th. Mm-hmm. So they really need to get something done, and they ain't close.
They're not even close.
Say,
no,
we're not negotiating, fellas. Yeah.
They're not getting this done by
the deal in place.
They're not getting this done by June 15th. But and getting back to the big salary guys, the Max Scherzers and the Mike Trouts of the world, sure, they don't want to take 80% cuts on $37 million. I mean,
correct.
Obviously they can still live on $5 million or $9 million or whatever it is. But
correct.
They're also looking out for the guys, the majority of the league that makes, I don't know, league minimum or $600,000, $700,000?
And now the minimum's $563,000.
Right, there you go.
That's not bad, but if you know, it's a sliding scale. So if you take a 50% pay cut,
sure,
and you're down to $250,000 or whatever, and then you pay taxes and you have a family and you have a mortgage. That's not poor by any means, but it sure as heck isn't as rich as the owners. And you're right, Jason. And they're also looking out because remember the initial proposal that the owners floated was a 50-50 revenue split, which is basically a salary cap. That's what you have in other sports. Mm-hmm. And they have fought the salary cap for years. They gave in on the luxury tax, which has helped the smaller market teams and helped stop the richer teams like the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers from going completely crazy with payroll or limited it anyway. But what they're saying is, wait a minute, we don't even want to set this precedent. Because they've got a negotiation coming up next year, and they don't want the owners coming back and saying, well, we did this 50-50 split. We like that idea.
Yeah, right.
And so they're not only looking out, Jason, for the guys now, they're looking out for guys in the future, too.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So in your opinion, if they don't have a season, what are the PR repercussions of this?
Well, it'll be awful. Because
yeah, it'll
go
be
back
really
to the
bad.
Faye Vincent quote.
Yeah.
People are going to say greedy millionaires versus greedy billionaires. Most will side with the owners. And remember, after the 95 strike, when the owners were going to bring in replacement players, remember, before Judge Sotomayor's ruling, I think I said that wrong, Sotomayor, it took a good 5 years for attendance to come back. Even in Cal Ripken was something of a savior in 95, breaking Gehrig's record, and in 98 you had the fake Sosa McGuire home run chase, but we didn't know at the time it was fake, although some people did. Shirley Povich wrote a column the day he died, saying be suspicious of this, but everybody else was, you know, fawning over the home runs being hit, and baseball loved it, and everybody turned their back on it, the whole steroid thing. But it took 5 years before attendance got back to the level it had been at before the strike in 94. It went down more than 20% in 95. So I would assume, I would think, and especially because you're still going to have to deal with social distancing for a while, I think, that it's really going to damage the game for a while. And then you've got still the potential looming for another collective bargaining battle at the end of the 2021 season.
Yeah, yeah.
It ain't a good situation.
It's not. All right, so switching sports here, speaking of golf, a couple things. One, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the match, and you said you weren't going to watch it. I don't know if you did. Okay.
Nope.
I'll just say this. Justin Thomas was really good. He was like
Thomas, the smart kid.
Yeah, he's funny, but he's funny.
And I'm not surprised by that. And I'm also not surprised that there was one story I read about the fact that Turner initially talked to Greg Norman about being on the air during the telecast. Greg Norman initially was the first member of Medalist, which is where they played and did a redesign on the golf course years ago, so he knows it inside and out. And then all of a sudden, according to Norman, he never got a call back. Well, I'm pretty sure what happened was Tiger Woods nixed it.
Ah.
And because he and Norman do not get along, to put it mildly.
And what's the root of that,
Justin
by the
Thomas
way?
Justin Thomas and Tiger are friendly.
What's the root of Norman and Tiger?
And from what I heard, he was really good. The other thing that amused me, I read Sally Jenkins' column the other day about how, Phil Mickelson's really funny. That's not a scoop. Everybody's known Phil. Phil has an often edgy sense of humor, but Phil is funny. Phil at his best is very funny, so I don't know why that was some kind of surprise.
I would agree. What's the root of Tiger and Norman's
It goes back to when Tiger first moved down there. There were a couple of things. One of them was Norman reached out to Tiger because he remembered when he first moved to Orlando, Arnold Palmer reached out to him and said, you know, tell me how I can help you, and sat with him and advised him on how to handle being famous. Because whatever you want to say about Norman, he was the most famous golfer in the world at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And Norman reached out to Tiger and basically said the same thing, and Tiger never even responded. Mm-hmm. And then there's a story that witnesses tell where Norman's waiting for his car at Medalist, and Tiger pulls up in his car. And Greg, you know, hey, waved at him or something, said, "Hey, Tiger, how you doing?" And Tiger didn't respond again. So Norman basically wrote him off at that point, and the two of them have been at odds, certainly privately, ever since then.
Hmm. Interesting.
They do not get along. But, you know, again, the good news about the thing on Sunday is that it raised a lot of money. That's great. It's much needed money, obviously. And so in that sense, it's a good thing. I'm glad it happened. I'm just a little... not thrilled to see all these stories about, oh, who should the next match be? You know, well, once we start playing real golf again, I would hope these things go away. Unless Frank Cherkinian brings back the CBS Golf Classic. Because that CBS Golf Classic and Shell's Wonderful World of Golf back in the 60s were great. Mm. But nobody tried to make them out to be more than they were. Mm. And back then when the players were mic'd, which they were, Cherkinian was the first one to do it. You know, they weren't trying to perform. They just talked the way people would normally talk playing around the golf. And it was, from what I read, again, pretty clear that the guys were trying to perform with knowing the mics were on them.
They're just duds, generally. I mean, Justin, you know, everybody said that Justin Thomas and I was going to have a career in broadcasting. No, he's not. He's never going to stop playing.
Right.
But I'm just saying he can do that.
He doesn't play every single week.
Who retire and don't play the senior tour?
Yeah,
they're the ones who are injured most of the time.
Yeah, you know? If he stays healthy, he's not.
Nobilo would be on the senior tour, except he can't play anymore because of his back.
Right.
Verity can't play golf because of his back.
Right.
And guy, if you can play, why wouldn't you play, for crying out loud? It's what you've done all your life. You're good at it, and you still make a lot of money. And I've been at senior events, and those guys are treated like they're gods, as if they're still on the PGA Tour winning majors.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
When people say that, they don't think he's going to be doing TV next year. They know he's got a long career, they could stick him in. Like you said, if he has an injury, you could stick him in there. He's just very good and natural.
There's no doubt he's a talent. I'm just saying his golf is so good that he's not going to come.
Of course,
play.
He's not even 30 years old yet.
He's got a long runway in front of him.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly right. And he's a really good player, and he's a really good. I'll tell you who else would be good if he wanted to. Who people wouldn't think. I mean, Rory McIlroy would be great someday if he wanted to do it, because he'd just sit there and tell the truth, unlike 99% of guys who do golf. But Brooks Koepka would be good, too, because he's got a sneaky sense of humor. He's real smart, and I think he'd probably tell the truth, too.
Bickle disagrees.
He's just a snarky guy. I'm not a huge fan.
I hear what you're saying, Eric, but I like the guy. I first met him in 2015 when I was working on the first major. He was honest. He was self-deprecating.
Right.
And look, he's taken some mean shots at Brandel Chamblee, who's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But I also think he's got a good sense of humor. And if he wanted to go on TV, I don't mind. You know, everybody talks about Johnny Miller as if he was hypercritical, and that's what made him special. He wasn't. He was just occasionally he would call a bad shot, or a mental mistake, and the players went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember, I know we got to get off, but I still remember sitting in the players' dining area in Atlanta back in like 1994 when I was working on A Good Walk Spoiled, and I was sitting around with three players. I can't even remember who they were anymore. There were three guys. I don't think any of them had won on the tour. They were guys who were making a good living, but they'd never won. And they're talking about Miller, and they're killing Miller, and one of them says, "Who the hell is Johnny Miller to criticize us?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, he won 21 times and won two majors, for crying out loud."
Right.
That's who he is.
Right. He can critique you. He can critique you, hacks.
Yeah.
He has that right.
Yeah.
Because golfers always say, who is he to criticize us? Well, that's who Johnny Miller was. Yeah. And they get mad at Chamblee because Chamblee only won once on the PGA Tour. But do you know how hard it is to only win once on the PGA Tour?
Right. It's almost impossible.
Win a club championship, for crying out loud. My brother, who's a very good player, would have never had a chance to get anywhere near getting through Q school.
Yeah.
I had a friend growing up named Rick Southwick who beat Phil Mickelson in the U.S. Amateur. In 1992. That's how good he was. Never got through the first stage of Q School. People don't understand how good you have to be just to play the tour.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. All right, thank you, John. We got to run. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep. You too.
Cheers.
Good stuff.
John Feinstein brought to you by Golfdom. Now open.
Love Golfdom. Go talk to Buddy.
Yes. Buddy Christensen.
Buddy will take care of you.
My man Danny over there, too. Yep.
Coming up next, let's open up the entertainment page, touch on the Hollywood, the music scene, find out what's going on with EB and the entertainment page right here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to jump into the entertainment page here, find out what's going on in Hollywood, if anything.
Not much.
The fall season is going to be anemic, right? Nobody's filming shows. How are soap operas continuing to go on?
That's a great question.
I wonder when they tape those.
That's a great question. I mean, they're definitely taped in advance.
Yeah.
Here's what I do know. The EP is sponsored by our friends at Wave Soda.
Oh, yeah.
Wave Soda is amazing. Super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice. A little bit of caffeine. It's unsweetened. No stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar. 15 to 25 calories per can. Just use our code JUNKIES for 15% off at wavesoda.com. Get that discount.
By the way, Bickle texted me last night and said, what hat are you going to wear?
Are we wearing the same? No idea. Have you guys been doing that the whole show?
I just noticed that.
You guys are samesies.
I haven't noticed it.
I know, obviously.
But, I mean, but two and a half hours. Yeah. That's how much we pay attention to each other.
We don't pay attention to each other at all.
My question about the soap opera, Eric, is the other day, flipping through the channels at night with my wife, and they happen to have, because all of these networks, they're trying to find some programming. Yeah. And I only caught like 2 minutes of it, but they happen to have like some sort of special about the history of soap operas. And what jumped out at me was, and I don't watch General Hospital now, but I did 40 years ago or 35 years ago, is the chick who played Anna Devane still on that show.
Wow. Yeah, well, didn't we have a guy on recently?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a huge – it was John Kincaid. He's a big General Hospital guy.
That's right. Yeah.
He does love them. Is that guy, what was the guy's name that wore the, was it Patch? He had the patch over his eye? Is that guy still on it?
I'm sure I don't.
Was that on General Hospital?
Don't you remember that guy who had a patch over his eye? I think his name was Patch.
I think you're right. I don't know if he's still on it.
I remember Luke and Laura.
Of course, everybody remembers that. Tony Geary and Gene Francis.
They're probably
on those shows for 30, 40 years.
Right. Yeah, we talk. I can't remember.
We've been on this show for 20 plus years. You're acting like it's uncommon.
We're getting close to having done this show more than half our lives.
Right.
Yeah. How sick is that?
We're a bunch of fossils.
Well, we are. That's a good run, I'll tell you that.
It's a damn good run. God forbid we ever have to get a real job. Doomed.
No, it's not happening.
Right?
It's over.
God forbid.
When this is over, it's over. And the podcast business dries up and everything. It's just over.
I'll go work at Wave Soda.
I'll work at Pacers. I'll be spitting people.
We're going to be leaning on
shoes.
All of our sponsors, 100%.
I'll be the five-star technician.
Jason will be at the, is it called, I, called the back nine at Golfdom. I think I heard that on your
I'll be working
commercial
at Golfdom,
in the
be
clearance
selling
rack.
Clubs. I'll be selling clubs.
Right.
Or I'll be busting tables at Circa.
Golfdom is silly. I get so psyched for their those areas where you go in there and you get fitted. They have separate, they have different ones. They have like their tailor-made sort of one, and then they have their Callaway sort of. It's just, it's awesome. I still can't believe I couldn't get fit properly with my driver. So annoying. I'm just
destined.
By the
way, did you officially set up your round with your volleyball buddies?
Yep. About Tuesday at Renditions. Got to thank our guy. Is it Dave?
Dave is awesome. Dave Long.
Dave Long. He is the man. I mean, immediately responsive. I mean, that guy's amazing. Wow. Yes. So we're going out there on Tuesday.
See how you fare on Amen Corner.
You were very transparent. We knew exactly what you were doing when you brought it up.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to get it hooked. Yeah. I was just asking Valdez, because Valdez is my gaff guy now, and he's the only one that, like, he and Lurch are the ones that troll, and I just don't troll for golf anymore.
I admit, I troll.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
You certainly do.
What's up, Potomac Shores?
Did you use me to troll and then turn that into some of your own tee times?
I may be playing tomorrow.
Right, exactly. So let me guess what you did. You said, you know, EB's looking for a spot, and they respond, and you go, you know what, he actually found a spot, but could I come out? Did you kind of do that?
You can read me like a book.
Yeah.
Although Todd at Potomac Shores hit me up and said, I heard the segment and just let Eric know, and JP and Jason, didn't mention cakes, are always welcome out whenever they want.
And then you said, hey, well, you got anything available tomorrow? Or
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nice move.
Go out early, beat the heat.
Yeah, I haven't played this year, and I might kind of take a pass on this year and just like
you said that.
Up next year. Although one of my buddies wanted to play, but he'll only play on the weekends. I don't really love playing on a Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah,
either.
I don't
buddy
do
Frank
Saturday.
Wants to do it's just usually too crowded.
Like, and I'm so bad now. I only like to play like once every couple weeks. It's not fun.
I've been doing the bit where I go out on the weekend at like 7 a.m. First one out.
See, I don't mind that.
You're the
deuce sweeper.
You'll be done by 10.
Fly around the course, finish early, have your whole day ahead of you. It's awesome.
Right. Well, we'll be out there on Tuesday. Renditions, getting after it.
You picked a silly day, EB. It's going to be high of 75 on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, I picked it based on, well, I had something going on Monday. I've got a designer from Offenbacher's coming out.
Nuh-uh. You have somebody from Offenbacher's coming to your house?
Why don't they just move in? They should just move in.
So Monday I'm booked.
Dave but just sent me a text, by the way, and said, tell EB thanks for the plug.
See?
Uh-huh.
Good
He's
dude.
He's a good-time listener, so Dave
He's a
is
good
awesome
dude.
To us.
Yeah.
Wonder Good luck on the British Open holes, EB.
Let me tell you something. I don't play well there. That course is difficult for me because I don't know
all the last time you played there? We played last summer.
Yeah, 6 months ago. Okay. I don't know, 8 months ago.
I thought you were talking about eight years ago.
No. I play out there. Yeah, I play there. You know, rarely, infrequently. So I don't know the course well. And then you know, I'll hit it in a spot that I don't really know, and you know, the rough will be overgrown, and I can't find my ball. You know, I mean, I just don't play well there. You know, a blind tee shot and I'm done-ski if I don't hit it in the fairway, right? Don't know where my damn ball went. And you don't have time to look for your balls anymore.
Nope. Just bring your, be sure to bring your sleeves of Kirkland, Pro V1 knockoffs.
Who get gave from, me that? I don't have any
from,
of those.
Get them from Drabby. Drabby loves all things Costco.
Well, hold on. Is that a bit? Label. First of all, I've never hit a Kirkland golf ball.
I think Valdez has trumpeted them in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think it's the same technology that Titleist uses. They just slap on the Kirkland.
Right. They got. Oh, really? I think they got sued by Titleist or something.
Oh,
like
they
that.
Did.
And they're just and they're a lot cheaper.
I found obviously. In an old golf bag some silly Pro V's, but they're actually they have the Augusta logo on them. I don't know who gave them to us. Somebody went there maybe, but I don't know what the hell. And I have two questions.
A gift from Billy Payne.
Yeah. Gift from Billy Pancakes.
Fred Ridley. Hey, play my music, Valdez.
I don't know. You have two questions as you can do your impression.
This is Fred Ridley, chairman and executive whatever, mucky to muck of Augusta National. Thank you, Valdez.
I have a question for you, Fred.
Yes,
are these golf balls, it's in an old golf bag, are they still good?
Those should be used mainly as souvenirs, Mr. Bickle. Shouldn't use
Pro
those out of the course.
And they have the little silly logo, so I kind of don't want to lose them.
They're good for you.
You know how much money we made off that logo over the years?
I mean, technology increase obviously gets better every year. And
yeah,
all
but if you have old Pro V ones that are still in their little boxes, but it's in an old bag, so they've been in there like 7 or 8 years. I forgot I had them in there.
Right.
Would they still be silly when I hit them?
You should send them back to Augusta National. We will resell them and make more money.
To millions of homes worldwide. We thank you for your interest in the game of golf.
Right, right. So anyway, that was my big question with my. I don't know what to do with those golf balls. Should I hit them or should I save them? What am I going to do saving them?
Why do you save them?
It just seems kind of nice.
Just tee that whitey up and let it fly.
I'm sure you at 10 o'clock. I'm sure you care.
I don't care.
I know you don't.
But I did. I looked at it the other day and I wondered if I should hit them. Speaking of golf. The lead story from Valdez is Tiger Woods, apparently, in HBO. They have a documentary in the works.
Sweet.
And they say it could, we don't have to wait a year or anything. It could debut around the November Masters.
Oh, I know you guys will be watching the pantsless.
Yep.
Tiger doc.
I mean, he's a douche, but I'm a huge fan of his gaff. So anytime you do a documentary. Now, is he going to be involved in this one? Or is it just going to be like Armin Katayan and all those guys?
If they're going to interview him, I guarantee he wants some editing
some
power.
Some creative control. Well, maybe he's not going to be involved.
Well, maybe not.
Valdez, do you know?
I don't know.
But it doesn't sound like Tiger's involved.
Yeah, so it might be really good.
But 2020 is the year of the sports doc.
It is. Yeah, it is. Didn't they do one when he came back from injury? Why do I feel like they did one, or maybe right when he won the Masters?
They had one where they chronicled every one of his wins on the PGA Tour. I know that. That was silly.
Mm-hmm. That would take like 6 months.
It was long. It was on Golf Channel this past year.
Now, speaking
I think it was called Road to Glory or something like that.
Right.
I will say it's amazing. We were talking about how long the show's going. For some reason, it pops in my head that EB was talking about Tiger Woods when we did a show at Pettibones. The one in Crystal City.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Do you remember that? We did a remote. We had people come out. We're at Pettibones in Crystal City, and for some reason we were talking about, I think we were a weekend show, Tiger Woods back then.
Maybe. So what year would that have been? 98?
96.
96?
97.
Yeah. Well, Tiger turned pro 97.
How do you
correct?
Remember a topic that we talked about a show in 1996?
I don't know. It's one of those. It's very few that I remember. I've forgotten many of the guests, but that's just one that I do remember. I bet if I looked it up. I think you know why, too? I think that kid. Remember we had a kid that did a book report on us? No.
Vaguely.
No, I don't remember.
Vaguely.
Well, I've got
a notebook
with some of this old stuff. I think he came out and he took a picture of us there.
Right. Well, speaking of hot tubs, Valdez is also giving me this story of a Twitch streamer. Her name is Sydney, but on Twitch her name is Viperous. She's a video game streamer. She has over 26,000 Twitch followers. That seems pretty decent.
I think that's
right?
A lot.
I mean, she's obviously – she looks – let's be honest. She looks like a stripper. That's what she looks like. So I don't know if she's any good at video games or not. But apparently, one of her Twitch subscribers hit up Offenbacher's and got her brand new hot tub, Cakes.
What?
Yes. They gave her a $6,000 hot tub. Silly. Just for being a hot silly on Twitch.
Oh, they just gave it to her?
Yes. On Twitch. Don't people just donate money?
Because she's a Twitch influencer?
Yeah, you could have like a wish list.
Yeah, don't. Oh, is that what people do? They have wish lists?
I know some people, like, on Amazon.
A bunch of Eric the Actors.
Exactly.
Wish lists.
Yeah, that's how I know it.
Oh, we should get a wish list going. I'm going to make a wish list. Has Dukes ever done that?
No, I don't think so.
I like that
Are
idea.
We doing Offenbacher stories at the entertainment page now?
Like, that sounds... What a terrible story.
Hey,
he led with, speaking of hot tubs...
Right.
Tough
times. We're trying to get these advertisers.
Everybody, go to Offenbacher's.
Don't be jealous. I guess at some point we talked about hot tubs.
Don't be jealous.
I think we've done four hot tub stories today.
Yeah, well. All right, Megan Fox is in the news.
That's how I can get Eric to pay attention to the entertainment page, by putting a plug in there.
Put a plug in there, yeah.
But hey, that chick, I just looked her up. She is
Speaking of hot tubs, I have a plug in my new Offenbacher's hot tub so the water doesn't all flow out.
Megan Fox is in the news. We've been talking about her for the last couple of weeks after it became obvious that she and her husband, Brian Austin Green, have split again. But they're saying that she dumped him around the time he was seriously ill with a stroke-like syndrome, Cakes,
ooh,
that left him bedridden and barely able to move.
That's not bueno.
Well, what are you supposed to do if you're planning on leaving your spouse, which it sounds like she was planning on leaving the spouse? Is she supposed to stick around? What if he's sick for years?
This apparently happened back in 2015. She left him, and then she came back 6 months later or a few years later. But then they reconciled. But then they broke up again, and now she's running around with that dude, Machine Gun Kelly.
That song's a hit, by the way.
He's got a good song. That's a great song.
I mean, I don't know why Valdez isn't playing it every single day.
Can you play it next segment?
I'll play it when we come back from break.
Perfect. Let's take a break.
We'll and let it breathe a little bit, Flame. Let it breathe.
Let it breathe? Yeah, let it breathe.
Thank you.
I got no problem with letting it breathe.
Yeah, just let it breathe.
All right, we're the Junkies. Be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So this is Machine Gun Kelly, who's with Megan Fox.
That's correct.
It definitely sounds like a song straight out of 2003.
Play it a little louder, please, so I can hear it again. Pretty talented dude. Because I just remember him from his like rap battle with Eminem or whatever.
Yeah.
Didn't really know much about him.
I think he's acted in a bunch of movies.
I know he does a lot of acting, and his resume of chicks he slayed is ridiculous.
I'm sure it's impressive.
Oh, my God.
I just love that tune. It's really cool.
It was co-written by Travis Barker. I mean, you can tell it has a lot of Blink influences.
I was gonna say, it sounds like Jimmy Eat World or something, you know, like that era.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah.
You sign me up for vintage Jimmy Eat World.
But who plays it? Who plays it?
Oh, I don't know.
YouTube.
YouTube.
Spotify.
That's who plays it.
Right. I guess it's Spotify. Spotify, man, that's a joint. You got to get that $100 million deal.
Again, I would take a zero off the end and just sign it in
blood. I'll take the $10 million deal, sure.
Just sign it in blood, just like yesterday.
Yeah.
Might need to talk to our agent.
Yeah.
At some point. You know, just talk.
Valdez is trying to get, he's trying to, first of all, he's trying to horn in on my golf podcast.
You asked me if I wanted to do it.
Basically.
Mischaracterization. I mean,
yeah.
And then he's trying to push me to do it. I told you, I already do one free one, time and room. I'm not sized to do another free one.
No, we're about doing paid
gigs.
Right,
but it was your idea. You're the one who's picking
it. I know. That's why I haven't done it.
I know, but then you just characterize it as he's trying to horn in on your show.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know. I kind of half invited him.
Half? You're hoping I turn it down.
No, because Valdez.
No, he's hoping that you end up producing it all, so he doesn't have to edit.
I actually get a. Here's a bizarre thing. I kind of get a kick out of the audio editing that I do. It is a little bit of a pain, but I kind of get a kick out of it.
I'm psyched. You can be my producer. I'll be talent.
I'm nerdy that way. Yeah, it's fine.
It's heist.
I kind of like doing it. But we got to find a. I wonder if Golfdom would sponsor it.
Why wouldn't
they? It seems like a good relationship.
By the way, our friend Peter from Burke came up with four fictitious names on one of his polls on Twitter for your upcoming Goff podcast. I thought they were all pretty decent.
I like the first one. The first one is a smash. You probably should do.
Call her Caddy.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
We probably should do that one.
That was my zing yesterday.
Right. Yeah. So he's stealing that from you.
Okay.
The second was Tiger Dong.
It's like
Tiger Dong.
Tiger Dong. Not terrible.
Pete Mencia.
The leader in the clubhouse so far is hooking it.
Uh-huh.
Not bad. And the last entry, live from the woods, because you guys fawn over Tiger Woods' spot. In Orlando.
Those are good.
Wherever.
But I just have my heart set on my name that I can't.
I know you have your own name, set aside for it.
Yeah. Those are good, though.
They are.
Caller Caddy might really be good because we might just get spillover.
Yeah, you get accidental clicks and downloads.
Exactly. It'd be like Poogle.
Right, exactly.
People might just hit it by mistake.
Has anybody registered Doogle.com? Yeah.
Right.
Or Poogle.
Get
Poogle.
That F right next to it.
Any
right.
other letter.
It's like registering Pornhub. Leave out the R.
Right.
All of a sudden you get 10,000 visits a day.
I'm going to do Foogle.com.
I guarantee you they're all taken.
It says coming soon.
Yeah, Doogle, Soogle, Moogle. They all have to be taken.
Nothing there.
Any?
Do you think Foogle.com, though, like they'll sell, like they could get a premium?
Yes.
You think they could?
Just because it's so similar to Google.
Sure.
Right. Let me see, Hoogle.
Yeah. Some jerks in his basement 15 years ago said, I'm going to register Hoogle.com.
Yeah,
Google.com.
It's already. Are you struggling? Yeah,
I would
sustainable
guess all
marketing
taken.
Solutions.
Zoogle.com. Taken. They all have to be taken.
All right. Well, shout out to our caddy gang. Right, Eric.
Right.
Yes. Give those shout outs.
Oh man,
can't believe that JP holds his mic for the entire 4 hours.
I know. I don't know why he likes to do that.
It just doesn't bother him.
It obviously doesn't bother him. I couldn't do it. I couldn't just do this all day.
Easier to move
around.
Hey,
guys, what's up?
Same thing that I do during our pregame shows. We have mic stands, but I choose not to use them.
Right.
I know, but you can't. You can never hear anything, so you never hear when your mic levels go in and out. Tilting.
You also don't hear screaming. When you move everything around. Yeah. All the time,
I just think it's funny.
When it's locked in, it doesn't move as much.
Well, a few weeks ago, Valdez told me that I was going in and out. If that's continuing to happen, just let me know. I'll just leave my arm in the same position. It's not hard.
Yeah. It would be for me.
He's stubborn. He's entrenched. He's never going to give in.
He gets so defensive about it.
I'm just saying, a few weeks ago, Valdez communicated it, and we improved upon it.
Hey,
if
I held it.
Worse, nobody told me.
I held it the first few weeks of quarantine, and the mic stand is, for me... game changer.
JP's got the biggest bicep in radio.
From holding that thing for 4 hours. Right. By the way, Cakes, you and I are working tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
Right? Noon to 3?
Correct.
Are we going to book any guests?
We can talk about it. We haven't really broached it.
Yeah, I don't really have any in mind.
JP and I got that all taken care of.
You do? Got 9 of them already locked up?
Well, we got about half of that.
Yeah? Do you really?
I locked up 2 and was working on a 3rd, and then Jason just texted me this morning that he was going to work on somebody else. So.
We'll figure it out. If not, we'll just talk about Offenbachers for a full hour.
Yeah. Is it going to rain tomorrow? Because I've been doing them outside.
I don't know.
No
couldn't do it from my little deck.
No rain tomorrow, no rain Sunday.
All right. Perfect.
Some storms.
You can talk about your sponsor. I'll talk about the prospective reopening date of MGM National Harbor and the poker room. That's 2 hours right there.
Right.
Bang. Well, it's already done. We'll be on from 9 till noon. I believe Chris Russell's going to join us at 9:20.
Right.
That's a good one.
We'll talk about the latest Redskins news. I know Jack Del Rio was speaking yesterday about the Redskins defense. We could talk about where Haskins is ranked on the list and all that sort of thing.
Right.
At 10 o'clock, we've got Jamion Christian, who's the head basketball coach at GW. So we'll talk about what college sports are at this point. And then Jason's got a couple things brewing, and I got a couple things brewing.
By the way, did you see this today on CBSSports.com? They ranked the toughest 4-game schedules in the NFL. So basically toughest months of scheduling in the NFL.
Yeah.
All right. Number 5 was hold on, we got it right here. Was Vegas Raiders. They got the Saints, Patriots, Bills, Chiefs. All right, weeks 2 through 7. Eagles, weeks 4 through 6. Niners, Steelers, Ravens, Seahawks. And all right, so all the way down to 1, Redskins. Cowboys, Steelers, Niners, Seahawks. 3 of those on the road. Toughest 4-game stretch. That's
yeah, but when stretch. Is that in the season?
That's late. It's relatively late.
Yeah, I mean, they're already going to be out of the playoffs by then, but weeks 12 through 15.
I think their first half of the season is tough. Well, I mean, that 3-game stretch you're talking about before the Seattle game, which is at FedEx, all of those games are on the road.
Right, right, right. And so weeks 12 through 15, you got 3 out of 4 on the road, and the home game's Seattle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting because we've been talking about schedules for since it came out.
I can't wait. Did you see there's a good piece on Scott? I think it's in the Post. If you check it out online, on Scott Turner and Haskins and, how pleased Scott Turner has been with, their Zoom meetings. And clearly we've all seen how physically fit Dwayne looks like he is. But he says he's picking up the concepts. You could tell he's putting in the work, understanding the playbook and everything. And then just kind of reading about Scott Turner's philosophy about how he wants to use guys. His idea of balance and playmakers, and he doesn't care if you're a rookie or 10-year vet. He's just gonna play the best guys.
Yeah, we'll actually play some of Scott Turner when we come back. How about that, Mr.
Ooh,
Pickle?
I like that.
So we'll hear from Scott Turner, who of course is Norv's son and now the new Redskins offensive coordinator, next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.